Good evening. Let's go to God in prayer as we start our Bible class. Our Lord and God, thank you so much for all you do for us, Lord. And there's so many physical things we see around us and the blessings you give us, but of much greater importance that can't even be measured is the spiritual blessings. And we're thankful for those. We're thankful for your word and the chance we have to meet here without being stopped by government and able to study your word freely. Thank you for that blessing. And we ask you to bless us now as we look at this miracle that took place with a Gentile woman, and help us to be edified by this, and even more so to teach others about the blessings that are found in you and nowhere else. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I titled this class this morning to this evening. You can tell I'm tired here. I don't know what time of day it is. Crumbs from the Master's Table. And Rick and I were going to do one miracle or the other, and I'm thankful for this one because it's a wonderful teaching opportunity for me. And if you want to fill in the blank, the best way to really understand Scripture or a section of Scripture is to blank it. What's the fill in the blank? Read. No, it was a little more. To really understand it really well.
Study it.
Study it. One more.
Meditate.
Excuse me?
Meditate.
Meditate upon it. Those were all right.
Understand it.
What am I doing right now?
Teach it.
Until you teach it, I think you won't have as deep of an understanding of something. And that's just a thing, I think, that when... You can sit down at the table and study, put your favorite, chair, lamp on. And I don't know that the accountability is there as much as it is to teach, as James 3:1 talks about. Let's talk about crumbs from the Master's table. There's two places, not four, like the Gospels. It's not in all these different places, but it's only in two. Matthew chapter 15, 21 through 28, Mark 7, 24 through 30. In case folks have not read that, why don't we read that out loud? Les, if you'll take Matthew 15, 21 through 28.
Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out with him, saying, "Have mercy on thee, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
Thank you. Very good. Thanks for reading it that way. What version is that, by the way?
New King James.
New King James. I'm asking about a certain reason that refers to little dogs. And Brian Eubanks, would you do Mark 24 through 30? And we can see how this account enlightens the other and emphasizes a few different things. So Mark 7, 24 through 30. Thank you.
Just so happens this is the New King James Version also. Okay. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered the house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. Demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed.
Thank you. Where did this miracle take place? Let's look at these questions. And I've got them up here at the top. And it's unique to this miracle. We'll talk about that a little bit. Where did this miracle actually take place? Let's see. Tyre and Sidon, and you'll see in the parentheses up there, it wasn't in the cities. There's no indication that it was in either of the cities themselves, but the region of Tyre and Sidon. And why is that a little unique? We'll develop some of these thoughts a little bit. When you look at a map, and I do have a map here. Let's go one more. And Mark specifies to be specific about the location. Mark enlightens us to tell us that it was in a house, and he specifies Tyre, so in the region of Tyre. And where else do you hear in the New Testament the Lord refer to these cities? -10.
Matthew 11.
Matthew, verse 21.
Yeah.
And does anybody remember off the top of their head the context of that? It's got to do
more powerful.
Yes.
For time than for you.
It's close by. We can flip over there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 21. And he began to reproach the cities where he had been preaching and teaching. And it is just a side point to this lesson. He mentions cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and we don't even know of any miracles necessarily that took place in those that are recorded for us. But he says a lot of miracles that would have convinced you to believe. And it's kind of a contrast to John chapter 20, I think it is, and 30 and 31. All these other miracles have taken place. And then John chapter 21 and verse 29, I think it is, or 25. If we were to record all the miracles that Jesus had done, there wouldn't be books enough. And this is an example here where he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, for if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon..." There's a reason Tyre and Sidon is mentioned here. Does anyone know off the top of their head? Is that, were those good places or not good?
Well, the first two, Chorazin and Bethsaida, were Jewish towns. Tyre and Sidon were Gentile.
Yes,
Gentile.
Greek, yes. So. And we read a moment ago that her descent, nationality-wise, she was called a Syro-Phoenician. Syria and Phoenicia, Tyre and Sidon, were on the coast, the coastal cities in the historical area known as what? Phoenicia, well known for their sailing skills back in the days of David and such. And so they're cities. But in Isaiah and some other places, their judgment is cast upon Tyre and Sidon. And I think that's another reason here that, yes, they shouldn't be believing the way you have, because I haven't even been doing miracles there. I haven't even been, but if I had been, they would have believed much more. So that's just a little side point about those two cities. And it is unusual that, a couple maps, and I wonder if this one actually, let's see. So we got the map. Maybe I did that. Okay. There's Tyre and Sidon way up here. Where did we just... Because chronologically, what Rick just taught is one of the last things that had just happened. In Gennesaret, after the crossing of the the sea. This is where Jesus last was when he healed all those people. And there's three verses that summarize all these healings that took place. And, you know, the hot area of all Jesus' teaching was Judea and then Galilee. They even call them by name, you know, the Judean ministry and his early ministry and the Galilean ministry. And this marks a change from the Galilean ministry to really the last phase of his teaching. And he's going to go down to Perea and some other places. But this is off the beaten path from this area. He's really outside of the Jewish area now. And that lends itself to the significance of this miracle, I believe. What was the Lord trying to accomplish by traveling to this area? Mark is the best at telling us this. Oh, by the way, can you advance? And again, let's see. We'll stop right there for a second. Thanks. What was the Lord trying to accomplish? Based on the book of Mark, what was unusual about him going into that house? Yes?
Trying to escape.
Trying to escape. Waldron's books talk about the retirement, Jesus' efforts at retiring. And the section we just read from Gennesaret was an attempt to retire and get away from everybody because of his popularity, because of his notoriety, and also because of his persecution. And who had just followed him to Gennesaret? Matthew chapter 15, the prior verses in this same chapter, is Jesus confronting the Pharisees and Sadducees. And it says they had traveled down from Jerusalem. So they were in pursuit of him to try to get after him. And basically, he now could... I did some things with this about who the characters are. The Lord is one character in this particular narrative. And what was the Lord trying to do there? He was trying to escape. And he's in this house and he's trying to hide. Another way to ask that is this another opportunity for him to start evangelizing and teaching and such? No, he's not. And we can tell that by going a little further by the things he said to this Gentile lady when she approached him about healing her. And this is a map that just is more zoomed in. This is where Jesus was, and they traveled up into this area quite a little ways away. And you know, he's really out of the Jewish region. He's now in more of a Greek Gentile ruled area. And he's trying to get away. What are the two or more ways that Mark and Matthew describe the woman's background, nationality? And I say two or more because different versions say different things. How is she described? First, how is she described as far as her her ancestry, which is kind of interesting.
Canaanite.
That's an ancient peoples at this point in time. But she traces her ancestry to Canaan. Canaanite. And then how about her nationality? We already just mentioned that a minute ago. Syrophoenician. And really another her category. She's not a Jew, she's a Gentile. Greek, she's a Gentile. So all those things are named. There I put some things on here. There's the section. Aren't I good at PowerPoint? And if you go again and talk about he withdrew, that's unique to this area. He's not trying to teach. He's trying to get away. And one more. And he was not successful because he could not escape notice, the book of Mark tells us. Another question here. The other person who is so clearly involved in this particular miracle is this Canaanite woman, where Mark says... Syrophoenician woman. And here's some more questions regarding this. What did she request of the Lord? Not to be healed like the people in Gennesaret, but what did she request? Yeah, her daughter. And we can talk more about this woman because it's pretty amazing, her persistence and such. But She wanted the demon cast out of her daughter. What actions did she do that revealed her determination and respect? Or on the screen up here, I put attitude, meaning in a physical way. We know she was shouting some things, but what did she do? There's two descriptions of something she did.
Down.
Pardon me?
She bowed down.
And
worshiped him.
And worshiped him. Yeah.
She also says, "Have mercy on me."
Yes. Began to cry out. I mean, she's following him. She's pursuing him. She's seeking him out, and showing this admiration. Raise your hand and stop me if you've got points to make about any of these things, but really just kind of covering the basics of of this particular miracle.
All these things that she's doing, by out and worshiping, asking, help, just all outward signs of her willingness to humble herself before him, which would be related to the greater question.
Yeah. Yeah. She exemplifies qualities that are great teaching things for all of us. How did she address the Lord?
Lord, Son of David.
Lord, Son of David, yes. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Is that a little unique for this Greek woman? She's not Jewish. Or it gives insight, and we're going to get more insight about her knowledge and understanding as we go along further here by the other things that she says in response to Jesus. But she knew enough to address him in a way that's respecting, and she did know some things anyway. How did the Lord initially respond? Pardon? Not at all. He didn't answer her a word. And I love what Barclay says on some of this. Jesus' knowledge of what was going on and what he saw in her, I think, was reasons that he managed the situation the way that he did. That he initially didn't say anything at all. And there's a practical reason why, which is the next thing he says. And the disciples were over there. What did they ask the Lord to do regarding her?
Sin.
Yeah. And again, I read these two or three different things about this. The verb that's used there about sending her away potentially means that they weren't trying to totally get rid of her without granting her request. In other places in Scripture, that verb means do for her what she needs to have done as a way of getting rid of her. And so they weren't looking down on her necessarily. If they're faithful to God, it'd be hard to look down on her desire to help her daughter, but that's just a little thing there about that. How many times did the woman make her request to the Lord? And I don't think anywhere in the Scripture it tells how many times, but it does make, there is a statement about,
Kept asking.
And we're trying to put together this scene, but it's obvious it was a woman who was, her hope was earnestly set on accomplishing this. Yes?
Even though the woman was Gentile, she obviously had heard about Jesus and all the many miracles have some knowledge of the Jewish teaching about the Messiah and the Son of David. She's putting all the pieces of the puzzle together and just coming to the conclusion this is the Christ.
Yeah. And I read some of the things on that too, on different viewpoints on that. And some of the viewpoints are that she may not have initially thought that. She really knew that he could help her because of his ability to do miracles. But mainly only viewed him as a, you know, on this plane. He's a great man and very powerful man in what he can do. And maybe even within this time, she gains greater insight, which is maybe why the Lord didn't initially respond to her. But I think you're right. Ultimately, the same thing is the result of her. She does come to have at least a glimpse of who he is. What specific thing was she doing that the disciples pointed out that they wanted to get rid of her? And this is in Matthew again.
Shouting.
Just so persistent. What did the Lord tell the woman regarding the purpose of his ministry? Thanks, Ken. The next part of the discourse here.
He was only sent to Israel.
Pardon?
He was only sent to Israel.
Yes. And was that a lie? Was that a put off? No. What did he tell the 12 disciples? You know, and there's other places Jesus specifically says, you know, first, where did Paul go every time? First to the Jews, to the lost children of Israel. And that's to the point we were talking about a minute ago. It's a interplay here with him and with her. That's an interpretation, but it seems to fit a little bit. And that is consistent, is it not? He was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. He could mean that in a practical way also. I'm up here in Tyre and Sidon getting away from all this. And I really, my intention is not to teach. I have a different purpose. And that was he had certain things he had to teach his disciples, I believe. And he also needed just to get away from, he couldn't do anything other than what the crowds were calling upon him to do. Did that explanation deter her? I think we know the answer to that. She responded, really in prayer, you could almost could say this, it's Earl's point again, she's truly becoming so worshipful and dependent upon him, upon the Lord. She knows that he is his her hope. What does that show about the relationship she had with her daughter? You know, if you want to talk about something that's the ground foundation for her behavior right now, it would be that, her love for her daughter. And what was driving her to do persistently keep on going. And what illustration? I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with the picture at the top of the page. What illustration that this particular miracle is known for? And verse 26 says, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs," or the little dogs. Everything I read about this was, this is a reference not to be cutting or biting to her. Pardon that pun. Sorry about that. But to, he's not like Pharisees sometimes would be. I don't want to throw all them under the bus. I'm sure they weren't all that way. But again, some of the reading I did, he's in this communication back and forth with her, and it could very well be that he said it in a jocular kind of a way. Hey, you know, because was this a well-known reality about the Jews' view of Greeks? Yes, they were. It was common. They referred to anyone that wasn't a Jew as a what? A dog. And so he could very well be referencing that. And hey, you know, it's not good to throw the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Did the Lord's illustration deter her? No. And her response was what? Even the dogs feed on the crumbs. And I didn't put everything up there, but what's the first thing she said? You can almost...
Pardon? She says the word yet in my translation.
Meaning it's an agreement. You do that in sales a lot. You agree with the person. Yeah, I know what you mean. And then you make your point. And it could have been one of those, you don't want to tell somebody, no, you're wrong. She had a point of agreement. It could be that. But it's such a wise, winsome kind of a response that she made. And I think it's a credit to her, what I just mentioned a minute ago, her love for her child. This was her only hope. And that drove her to continually persist. Did that deter her? No. What was her amazing response to that question? And even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I was jumping ahead into her response a moment ago. And what we're just saying, she agreed with him and then gave that response, which spiritually, was she a wise woman? Yes. And possibly, that's my point a minute ago, she was understanding more, even at this time. She went from a mother's passionate love for her child to a little more understanding of who it was she was dealing with. And what was Jesus' response and action all in that one statement? Woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And so that's the miracle, the account of it. Any comments at all about things that you gain from this, the reading of this miracle? Yes?
One other thing I think that is very revealing about the comment about eating the dogs, eat crumbs that fall from the master's table. She's saying there, be a very light thing for you, a very easy thing for you to do. You're not going to have to strain or do any heavy lifting to do this for me. For you, very easy thing to do. Easy as a crumb falling off the table on the floor. That's how easy it can be. She's recognizing his power and his ability and contributing.
That's excellent. Yes.
You know, you read here that Jesus had gone up there to escape, you know, get away from everything. But do we think for one minute he did not know what was going to happen while he was there, that this woman was going to approach him? We see the same with the Samaritan woman. You know, here he is at this well in the middle of Samaria. You know, when he's there at this certain time, in the middle of the day, and all these things, the way that God planned all these things out for these people to be touched and influence others that even be written in God.
And in God's wisdom, deciding what to reveal to us. See, because what you just studied on Sunday morning was this Gennesaret situation. And who knows how many people were healed. And this one event, though, we get to zoom in on, sorry about that pun too, but zoom in on this one particular event and hear the dialogue that's going on between them. And how many other places, that's again back to John chapter 20 or 21, about all the books that could be written about these events that they took place. But there must be a reason why we're able to see this particular miracle for our benefit. Yes, you have a question or a comment?
I was just thinking that sometimes we marvel at how quickly the gospel spread in the first century. You know, Romans 10 says the whole world had heard the word, you know, essentially in the first century. But this miracle, because it is well north of Jerusalem and all the places that Jesus did most of his ministry and miracles, but yet this woman knew a lot about him, and she is a Greek, a Syrophoenician. And so that lends credibility to the fact that Jesus' fame was widespread way out of Jerusalem, you know, and the surrounding areas, and not just among Jews. And of course, we have many other examples where Gentiles would come to him asking and believing that he was able to do whatever they were asking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fact that someone that far away and no doubt much further knew about Jesus was part of, I think, the way that the gospel spread so quickly. What with Peter and Paul and the other apostles was they were bringing the gospel. They already knew something about this man.
Yes.
And this is a testimony to that.
And that's all just observational things about what was going on there, without getting into Rick Harrington type shadows and types about this particular event. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, no, but Les said, you know, the account of Cornelius is really interesting. Of course, that's a little closer to Jerusalem. But Peter even says, you've heard of all of this. You know about Jesus. You know what happened in Jerusalem. You know all these things. It was
that's
just a given,
yeah,
that this had been broadcast throughout everywhere, just about,
yeah,
you know, even though he had not necessarily heard the gospel at that time, he had heard of all the happenings.
And probably you got more authentic truth than you do with these phones, you know? Because you're hearing it from a person to a person and not being colored by it. That's another time to talk about that kind of thing. Any other thoughts?
Just one other thing that occurred to me is that when you read the Gospels, really, Jesus did not come here for the Gentiles. He came here for the Jews. The gospel was just as much for the Gentiles, but that all happened later under the teaching of the apostles. And so what he's, you know, saying here, that was not his purpose. He was not there to this woman. That's the point he's making. This is not my purpose for being here.
Could this event, though, since you didn't say it, I'll say it, be a foreshadowing, though? Because here he's leaving, and one of the questions, let's just go on to these questions because it ties into these questions, what I was getting at. What are some reasons that Jesus traveled this far off the beaten path? I think we've talked about that a little bit already. He wanted to, what are some reasons we mentioned? This is a review.
To get away,
yes. He wanted to retire away from everyone else. And the last time was not successful. He was mobbed, basically. And after he did the loaves and the fishes, people wanted him for the wrong reasons and such. Wanted to follow him for the wrong reasons. How does this miracle showcasing the faith of a Gentile woman contrast with the earlier part of this chapter and the question Jesus asked the Pharisees? It's a quick summary of the early part of that chapter. It's very significant teaching. It's two religious ideas coming at a head, and Jesus is getting into it with the Pharisees, who approached him, followed him all the way there from Jerusalem. And by the way, this is not in Tyre and Sidon. The setting of this is still back over in Gennesaret. Because we know in verse 21 of Matthew it says, and Jesus went away from there. But the topic is about unclean and clean and all the rituals that the Pharisees were involved in. Because they approached Jesus and said, why aren't your apostles or your disciples washing? And their whole existence had become so focused on that. Not just what was written in book of Leviticus. You know, they had the written law, but then the oral laws. And they saw all of those as being far more important probably than the Ten Commandments to them. And Jesus calls them out on that and says that's a false type of religious. I was reading something about the washings themselves. They had to use a minimum amount of water was 1 1/2 eggshells. And then they washed their hands in that water. And then they had to raise their hands like this and let the water drip down off of their elbows, because that water was then defiled because it had touched their hands. And then they would do the same thing and let the water run off this way. And they wanted to know why Jesus' disciples weren't doing the same thing. And I just saw a contrast between those things and the setting of this particular miracle, which showed that true religion is what comes from a person's heart and their desire. And it issues itself in kindness and compassion and not in rituals and you know, the emphasis that the Pharisees was putting on all the rules and regulations. That was me answering the question, but if someone else wants to answer this from this better. What other of Jesus' miracles has similarities, parallels with this one? This is unusual because he's not healing a Jewish person. He's healing a Gentile, so that's a clue to the answer to this question. What's another time that a Gentile came to Jesus and requested? Centurion, yes. And how did Jesus respond to the faith he saw in the centurion? Contrasted it with Israel. Similar to him cursing these cities and saying, you're not responding the way that Greeks would. And a similar thing with how he described this woman. A woman, your faith is great. How we would love to hear that said of our faith. What things did this woman... That's really a loaded... There's a lot of things you could say in this. Anyone answer that one? What are some things she said and did that showed her respect for the Lord and her knowledge of the Lord? And some of the things we've already talked about, but... O Lord, Son of David. And then even within this short passage, it seems she has a greater understanding of her need to worship him and to appeal to him, because she saw in him who he was.
She bowed down to demonstrate her acknowledgement of his authority.
Yeah. And her response. I mean, here's the Son of God, and he says what he does to her. Two different things. Silence, and then saying, my mission's not to help Gentiles, and then to use that phrase about the dogs. So three times she's really held up, and yet she persists with that response. And isn't that similar to, Ephesians about the breath of God, even the crumbs? We can feast on the Lord with the smallest things. And she saw that, I think, too. And what's our last question? How can this miracle be of the greatest encouragement to all of us here tonight? That's an open question. Yes?
Well, she was a Gentile. We are Gentiles. She was unworthy. We are unworthy. And she humbled herself and was persistent. It will be the same thing. We can be recipients of God's blessing as well.
Yes. That's great. That's a great point. Anyone else? Anything else about her and her passion? I was kind of thinking of that. I don't know you can find anybody more earnestly desiring, something as she was. So she's a model for that desire. I had one other thought, and that is, yes, Brian.
I was just going to say, it teaches us something. Her example to me is diligence and persistence. And when we think of Hebrews 11:6, it says that the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And she didn't, initially be rebuffed. She kept going and going and going. No, that's what the Lord expects of us.
Mm-hmm.
Be continued.
And he'll answer. He'll answer. Yeah. Yes.
I think a little bit of bravery and courage too, because after she acknowledges who he is and his authority over her, she still has the courage to say, yes, but, you know, it's kind of like that's taking it a step further.
Yeah.
Yes.
Staying engaged.
Yeah.
You know, staying engaged. And
she wasn't going to take no for an answer.
No. You see, everybody involved in this, and she pressed on. Her vision was clear, and based on the love of her child, which is a model too of God's love for his children. And I think the time's up. But thank you for your comments and the opportunity to teach this miracle.